The American dream has become a nightmare.
And you ain't seen nothing yet, folks. The nightmare will continue. Absolutely. And want to, guys, you know, I can't thank some of you folks enough. I got to mention a couple of folks that after our plea to help out, we have a donation from SB for $500. We got a donation from JB for $50. We got a donation for MC for $10. And guys, you are so critical here to keeping this truth coming, because I'm going to ask you one thing. What we're talking about today, where are you going to get this? Tucker Carlson won't bring it to you. Neither will anyone else, I promise you. So, let's... Absolutely. Love it when it works, right? And that was just... Matt, your comments on what we got for Frederick right before the break?
Sure, yeah. I just wanted to point out because you brought up the Palestine, Israel, and the Ergun, all those terrorist organizations. So who were they before that? Where did they come from? Now, do you guys know?
No, you're about to tell us, though. Go ahead.
Oh, they were the partisans in World War II. That's where they got all their experience and training from.
Oh, imagine that.
And before they were the partisans, they were the communists trying to overthrow and subvert all of the governments in Eastern and Central Europe. So it's the same people from 1917 all the way up until the creation of Israel. So...
Very interesting, and you know, we could tie that together with the end of World War II and good old FDR and Churchill turning over all of Eastern Europe to Stalin, but that'll probably be best discussed at another point. Frederick, you got another nugget to whiz at us?
Is he on mute?
I just got silence on my end all of a sudden. But anyway, yeah, I was talking about how, you know, the National Socialists, like, you know, Matthew said, yeah, they were nationalists. There was nothing about a world agenda in their philosophy at all. They were fighting global communism. But, you know, the World Zionist Congress, you know, from day one, you know, they had global aspirations. You know, that was the whole thing is, yes, we want Israel, but from there, we're going to rule the world. You know, and this is what Theodore Herzl and all those guys were talking about. And so the Romance of a People event in July 1933 on the 3rd of July, the day before our Independence Day, right? So this is just rubbing our noses in it, that over 150,000 Jews gathered at Soldier Field in Chicago to celebrate 3,000 years of Jewish history and nationhood by worshiping a fire-breathing statue of Moloch and feeding it children, which we only hope weren't real, right? It was called the Romance of a People. It was organized by the Zionist Organization of America, sponsored by Jewish Agency for Palestine, and produced by Meyer Weisgall, with help from Rabbi Solomon Goldman, as well as Maurice Samuel, who wrote the book You Gentiles, which is such a nice book. So many hateful things in that book. And one of the big speakers at the event was none other than Chaim Weizmann, the first president of Israel, and the guy who, alongside Lionel Walter Rothschild, authored the Balfour Declaration, which was the agreement that dragged the U.S. into World War One, in exchange for the British stealing Palestine from the Ottoman Turkey, that Ottoman Empire, and allowing Jews to settle there. You know, so this was a huge thing, but why did nobody ever know about this event, until a few years ago? You know, I never studied this event in any of my history classes, American history. 150,000 Jews, doing a ritual in Chicago, seems like that would have made the history books, right? But no, that was, just for, the elite few, I guess. But, you could see the power players there. And it was right after that FDR launched the FCC, and that was the hammer that the government used to shut down Huey P. Long, because his, stuff was getting, too much criticism from the Jews, right? They couldn't say it was wrong, so they had to shut him down. This is the same thing. It's interesting that in propaganda, one of the voices that sold World War II on the American population out in the Midwest, which was basically Germans and Poles settling that area, was none other than Cedric Adams, who is the father of the guy Stephen Adams, who runs the Watauga Democrat here and bought up all the newspapers, all those struggling local newspapers in the Appalachian Mountains. Adams Publishing bought it all up, and is doing the exact same thing of selling the Globo Homo agenda to all these local rural communities, just like old Daddy Cedric back in the day sold World War II to the Midwest. He was known as the voice of the Midwest because he was so convincing on why we had to go to war with Hitler. He had free reign, but somebody like Father Coughlin, who's out there telling the truth about what's going on, he's getting shut down by none other than FDR's administration, right? So what do you think about that?
Well, that's it looks like they're staying with the game plan. Let's, Matt, are you still with us, buddy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. We got all of that fixed up. I hope that wasn't a mistake I made, guys, but we're all back here. We've got some callers, so it looks like we're going to have to continue our program, and we'll get together on how we will attack this later, but let's see if we can bring in some callers. Laura from Michigan. Laura, how are you?
Well, I got a couple of questions, and, Father Coughlin, his radio show aired from the Shrine of the Little Flower Church in Royal Oak, Michigan. And I don't know if you knew, but that church got burned down. I wondered if anybody knew. It's probably the Jews that did it. When they rebuilt the church, the whole front of it now is cement, because he said, I'm not going to let anybody else burn this church down again. So it was all done in cement. And did you know that Mark Anderson of the American Free Press, and he's also a host here, he's writing a book about Father Coughlin. So if you have any extra information, you might want to give that to him.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you, Laura. Do you have any questions for my esteemed panel here?
Do they have any idea who burned the church down?
Well, I don't know, but I would give odds.
Yeah, sounds like Jewish lightning to me, that revenge porn they're so into, but I don't know definitively how. We'll follow up on that, though. I did not know that church had been burned down. That's one of their things that they do. That they will burn your, destroy those temples, destroy those places of, resistance. That's part of their creed. Great call, though. Thanks.
Yeah, burn their churches and tear down their monuments. That will work every time for sure. Any other comments, Laura?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Laura. We appreciate you. And now, guys, let's jump to James in Vancouver. James, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First thing I want to say or ask is, before I forget, because you might want to deal with this topic, Mike, later. Do we have a master list of all the carpetbaggers that went down to the South 1865 and after, maybe a bit before? A master list of the names who did all the buying and how much they bought that property for. Back to you.
Oh, well, James, I have a list. Now, I can't say how comprehensive it is, but I do have a list when I will actually produce that list, and we will talk about it on one of the programs. I think that would be a great subject to address on the programs. So,
With that list,
go ahead, sir.
With that list, Mike, you can follow the lineage of who were the buyers. That is to say, the carpetbaggers went down there first. But they were probably agents of people that were bigger, but it would show in the records of the titles of the claim, the titles of the land, just who exactly took that land and shed light on the agents who were responsible for creating that conflict. And so that's my first point. My second point here is actually in 1929, Ford Motor signed a deal with the Soviet government for a truck factory, and also the Ford company did business in Germany when the National Socialists were running it, possibly before. And also now I go to this Pope Pius XII, and I look at his history of the things he was involved with. First big job he got was from 1917 to 1925 as apostolic nuncio to Bavaria. Then he was apostolic nuncio to Germany from 1920 to 1930. Apostolic nuncio to Prussia, 1926 to 1929. And he's had quite a, obviously, an interaction with Germany. And then, of course, he became Pope in 1939. And my buddy in the Hitler Youth, who was from Bavaria, who was a Catholic, talks of a lot of meddling of the Roman Catholic Church in the affairs of Germany. And that part of the issue was to destroy Germany in order to send Germany back to the allegiance of the Vatican. That would be like what they're trying to do now to Russia. They're trying to bring down Putin, and then they would be bringing down the Russian Orthodox Church, and then in the end the Vatican would take over these operations, you see. This is one thing I wanted to advance here. Back to you.
Oh, well, thank you so very much, James. Matt, any comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the, well, we could do a whole show on Germany, National Socialist, and Christianity, because I find that extremely interesting, and most people have, I think, are very confused about it. But yeah, the Catholic Church, which I believe is just an agency of the Jews, has been used in Germany and all countries to subvert the Christian doctrine, in my opinion. So,
you said that, because the Roman Catholic Church was started by Jews, de facto. St. Peter's and Paul, they called them saints, but I don't think they were. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I find it interesting regarding the National Socialists and the Germans. you know, obviously they were a Christian country. You know, I think the majority were Protestant.
Lutherans, yes.
Yep, yeah, Protestant, yep. And one thing I've noticed in a lot of German interviews, because a lot of times you hear on the news, especially from the Jews, they're like, oh, the SS and the National Socialists were pagan or satanic or this or that, atheist. And none of that's true at all. The Germans or the National Socialists were against the Jewish influence within Christianity and within the churches, but they were not against Christianity or even against the churches. They wanted to clean up the churches, and that actually caused the rise of the German Christian movement, which is extremely interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Frederick, your thoughts, sir?
Oh, great points from Matthew and great questions from the caller. And it's like, yeah, we could do a whole show just on, you know, looking at all the key players from the Pope down through the Cardinals, through the bishops, you know, during the war periods, World War One through World War Two, and you can see the patterns of which ones were obviously working for Globo Homo and which ones were trying to get back to a more fundamental aspect of Christianity. And you know, that understood that their church was being infiltrated by these Marxist Jews, you know, as part of that letter of, you know, 1489, where, you know, the Grand Sanhedrin, you know, when they're getting ready to get thrown out of Spain, the Grand Sanhedrin says, make your sons clerics and, you know, infiltrate their churches and destroy them from within. And they've been doing that ever since. And, you know, in the Rothschild letter in 1889, when they reprinted that, you know, just re-echoed that, that this is the plan. We're going to infiltrate this, you know, all these white Christian societies and tear them down from every angle. This is full spectrum warfare that they're doing. It's a great call.
Oh, absolutely. Can I add one other comment? Yes, please. Go ahead, Matt.
This is just my opinion, but I just wanted to respond regarding Putin. In my opinion, I don't believe Putin is legit or a good guy or on our side. And the way I look at it is, because I know a lot of people think Russia is good or Christian or whatever, and the people may be Christian, but the leadership, I think, is completely corrupt. And the question I always ask is, if Putin or the government is legit or on our side, when did the Christian counter-revolution kick out all the Jews and communists from Russia? I don't remember that, so I don't think that ever happened. And therefore, I believe the same people who ran the country in 1917 run the country today as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think without a doubt you're right. James, thanks for the call, sir, and we certainly appreciate it. And call us anytime. We love your comments and your point that you bring to bear. So let's jump to Timothy in Washington. Timothy, how are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good. Great show. This is kind of for Blackburn here, and more of his game theory. But two quick questions. The first one is, you know, as I take a look and I game it out, I'm taking a look at this administration. It's well, I would break the Jews into two different pieces. You got the, you know, right wing Zionist and the left wing Zionist. Right now, it seems to be a committee of 30 some Jews or left wing that basically are running the country right now. But my question is I know at the end of the day, they just don't want to walk away from the host called America. That at the end of the day, they want to kill it so it doesn't come back on us or come back on them. At the same token, it looks like the Chinese, they're bucking up, at least the Han Chinese and Z and the Chinese are saying, well, wait a minute. Who put all these Jews in charge of the earth? So this is how I have it gamed out, and I wanted to just run it by you, Blackburn, or anybody. And then I had one other quick question, and that is, are they going to bring back Trump? Do we have 20, 22 months? Are they going to bring back Trump? And then as soon as Trump gets in, they're going to do a false flag on a Navy vessel, an aircraft carrier, force Trump to take the host America and its military power, slam it into the Chinese, who are bucking up, and basically lay waste both. And I had one other question, and I'll hang on.
Okay, the first thing is, if I may address that, the part about Trump I think Trump is their safety valve. I personally don't see this country surviving until the election in 2024, at least not as we know it. I don't see that happening. I think there's going to be some drastic things that will happen before that election. But
you got the music. You got the music. You're rolling over.
Ah, wow, I'm not hearing the music. Okay.
Yeah, it's coming.
All right. All right. So that is, I don't, you know, and, you know, for the people who do not understand all of Trump's Jewish connections, it's unreal. You know, and the fact that, you know, when somebody said in 2016 he was running for president, he was a people's person, I said, you do not survive in New York real estate market without the support of the Jews. It
so
just doesn't
saying,
happen.
So what you're saying is you think there's going to be no elections, which they're not going to bring back Trump to conduct this war, and basically, you know, do this false flag, get a bunch of white boys to shave their heads, and let's go get the chinks and then slam us into each other. You think they're going to keep on with...
Go ahead. Number one is I'm not sure that our military would be able to take Los Angeles in another 2 years.
No, I'm talking about the Navy. It's a naval war.
Even the Navy. Somebody has to drive the ship. Somebody has to push the buttons. And, you know, the Navy is falling apart now. I talked with some military folks, a general, a couple of days ago. And here is the thing, but he's in the Air Force, but he says the military is totally falling apart, is that, you know, they can't recruit anybody. So I see that as the stepping stone to bringing these illegals in, just like happened before the Civil War. They bring in all of these illegals and put them in U.S. uniforms. And I believe that is the pretense they're going to use. Okay, we can't recruit anybody. We can't get anybody to come in. So we're going to give these illegals, or these whatever you want to call them, immigrants, we're going to give them a chance to earn their citizenship. We're going to put them in the military, just like Lincoln did with, you know, about 300,000 or 400,000 Germans.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying with Trump. What I'm saying with Trump, he's going to go the draft. We'll get the false flag. We'll go the draft. He'll go the martial law. And then we'll go the big war with China and probably Russia. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
dude, we got the 22 months.
Well, I think that could possibly happen if we survive that long. I don't think we're going to survive that long.
Yeah.
To be totally honest, I don't think the country. Frederick, your thoughts?
Pull out my magic eight ball here. Yeah, great game scenario. I really like, you know, the connecting the dots there. And one of the things I often wonder about is what is going on in Israel right now really kind of amplifies this idea, but are we just basically caught up in a global Jewish civil war right now? And it's just these different factions of Jews fighting each other, like what we see in the streets of Israel. And I mean, Israel's melting down. You know, it's not in the Judenpress. Yeah, everything's hunky-dory. But, you know, Bibi Netanyahu has got his hands full, and there's obviously a split now in, you know, the Unit 269 group with Ehud Barak, you know, going after Bibi. And, that, you know, Ehud Barak, of course, you know, was most likely the guy behind 9/11 and the anthrax and, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, that whole operation, you know. So, you know, you got this huge schism going on in Judaism right now. And as they're being exposed left and right, especially with these new revelations from the FBI and the DOJ about the 2016 elections, you know, it's just, okay, our FBI and DOJ are now the Cheka and the NKVD. So, you know, if your major organizations are that compromised and that exposed, you know, is this republic going to make it to the next election? And is that part of the agenda where, you know, President Trump has been slated to play the role of the last great white president before the republic falls and gets, you know, formed into a North American Union Zionist client state, you know? Or because, you know, so much of this, you know, militant Talmudic zealot mindset is about we have to completely blot white people off the planet for our messianic age to come in. So, yes, let's see if we can trigger a war between our biggest rivals, which would be the United States, Russia, and a China who is, you know, like you said, that is China waking up to the fact that they have been manipulated by these international Jews since the Cultural Revolution under Mao. So great question and great comment.
Yeah, very much so.
One more real quick one. With Zelensky, he's not going home, and so there's a theory that's bouncing around on the internet that the whole reason for the drone hitting the Kremlin is it was a setup that the CIA knows they got to clean up the Ukraine. They can't have Zelensky having mansions in Venice and Miami, and that they're slated to kill him. And the kill box is going to be Kiev. And the reason why he's jumping around the world and refusing to go home, I think he's jumped into the G7 now, is that he knows that once he gets back to Kiev, that's the kill box. The CIA, through a bomb or assassination, is going to kill him and then blame Russia. What do you think of that game theory scenario? And then I'll take my answer off there. Really great show. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We certainly appreciate it, Timothy. Thank you so very much and for your input. But I'm not sure exactly where Zelensky is playing the piano with his penis now. Do you guys know?
No, you can't write comedy like this. He was actually in front of one of the big Arab leagues talking about, you know, Palestinian terrorists in Israel, and it went over about like a lead balloon, so they weren't real impressed, and they wouldn't let him stay the night in Saudi. He had to actually fly out, and it was undisclosed where he was flying to this time, but he doesn't have a lot of friends right now, and nobody seems to be offering him a place to stay.
A safe haven,
right. You know, he's kind of getting thrown to the wind, so I don't know what's going to happen to the, you know, Jewish artistic leader of the New World Order and World Economic Forum alumni and all of that, you know, and penis-playing piano extraordinaire guy.
Yeah, and you know, I've never tried that, but I think it might be uncomfortable. But anyway, let's skip on by that. Matt?
Yeah.
Any thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I think that I agree with you. I don't think there's really going to be. I would bet there's not going to be an election. I can't see us making it to that, and I don't think it matters who gets elected anyway. Everything's already. I mean, there's no legit leader in any country, in my opinion, at this point. And I do believe that they're trying to. I think what the caller was talking about, trying to get China and us into a conflict. I think that's the ultimate goal. So I think Zelensky, Putin, Trump, Biden, all these people are just players they're in theater playing their role, and everything is going basically according to what our Jewish communist overlords want. That's my view. That's the way I look at it.
All right. Well, thank you, buddy. AK, thank you for the donation. AK sent us $50, and AK, we certainly appreciate that. Well, now, guys, let's see what Patrick in Texas has got to offer us today. Patrick, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's some good stuff y'all got turned out there. America First, and those MPs on the landing crap. I mean, that just boggles the mind. You know, something I want to kind of think about. There's Wikipedia and all that stuff. That is so distorted. There's a guy by the name of Ashley, A-S-H-A, Logos, L-O-G-O-S, on Telegram. He does all the deep dives into history. And one particular instance is he called it Germanic people, and how they were usually, they were actually the Vestigoths. I'm sorry, the Ostrogoths, and they were the Goths, the Gothic people, the Gauls, and they were.
Okay, hang on there, Patrick. Hang on, please, Patrick. Come back on the flip side. We got the music here. Let's take a break. Patrick, be back with us on the other side.
Well, you were sleeping. They came and took it all.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ah, well, here we are, folks, coming back on the other side. And, Patrick, do you want to continue, sir?
Yeah, I just want to say this because it's, we were talking about World War II with the German people, but the root of the German people, they came from the Caucasus Mountains, and they were called the Scythians. And the Scythians were run out by some Sarmatians who was Iranian descent, and so the Scythian was evacuated, and so but the Romans called the Scythians Germans, or Germani, or genuine Scythians. That's the start of the word German, and that's just kind of trivial. But you know, if you're looking back in that period of time. The guy was such a pain to the Romans that the Emperor Justinian used all of the money and might of the Roman legion to put arms to the guys and almost exterminate them.
Yeah. Okay, any comments on that, Blackbird?
Oh, we could do a whole show just on the Scythians. Yes. Sasha McCray at Untold Tales has done some incredible work on that. If you're interested in the Scythian history, you know, laying the foundation of all this cultural conflict. But yeah, that's a great point. Thanks for the call.
Oh, very much so. Matt, any comments, sir?
Yeah, I couldn't quite make out everything he was saying, but yeah, the Germanic history goes way back. I have a little different view on that. I think the history goes back further than the Scythians or the Persians. In my opinion, I think the white people are the people of the Bible, not the Jews. So, but that is a whole different show.
Oh, for sure. Well, Patrick, thanks for your call, sir. Certainly appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in to RBN, and thanks for tuning in to the National Intelligence Report. And so now let's jump and talk with Bob in Colorado. Bob?
You know what, guys? I can't believe I'm reading a book that was on your show last Sunday, two Sundays ago, and it's by a black guy. His name is A.U.H. Kemetai. I think that's how you say it.
No.
The Jews or the Problem.
Yes.
The very first book that I started reading before I came to all this knowledge was called Exposing the Lies of History, Deprogramming 101 by Reed T. Stansberry. And then as you're talking about how the Jews really manipulate people, there was The Talmud Unmasked by Reverend I.B. Parentis. And if people would really start looking into this stuff, what's really going around them, and understand how we have been manipulated. And even Morgan Freeman put out a little quote, and the quote says, "Stupid is knowing the truth, seeing the truth, but still believing the lies." And I responded back, a lot of people don't want to know the truth because they feel safe in the lies.
Comfortable lies. Yep. And be careful, Bob, about one of the authors you mentioned, because as a member of the Department of Homeland Security, he actually advocated the genocide of the white race.
Well, according to the books that I've been reading, they all call for the genocide of the white and black race. So after that, saying that, I'll listen to you off air, because it's a show that is really dear to my heart. And if we don't wake up, they've been thrown out of something like 100-something countries. And boy, did they take hold of this country.
Big time. And they started at the very beginning with the Constitution, and most people will not accept that at all.
Yeah. What was that, 1866 or something, when it was the major or something, Gamber or something like that, that actually they ended up actually voting for the president. I can't remember now because I'm trying to read off of my memory. But back then in 1866, I think it was, when the president when they were running for president, the one president wanted to go ahead and support the black people because they were so intelligent, they had such great skills. But no, the AFL CIO closed them down, and that's where we are today. So,
well, in 1866,
what a great show!
In 1866, thank you so much, Bob. But in 1866, there was no presidential election. The presidential election was 1864, and then 1868 when useless Grant became president. Let's, there's Frances. Frances from North Kakalaki. Frances, how are you, lady?
Hey, young man. Hey, young fellows. I think I'm here for the most part, getting ready for a bizarre weekend, given that we just got over a new moon, so go figure with that fiasco. But anyway, yeah, I'll watch out for those astrological things that occur out in the night sky. Sometimes it could be good, sometimes it's like, you got to be kidding me. But anyway, what I'm finding from the dialogue, which is fascinating, is that we are dealing with not just one level of a chessboard, but multiple levels of a chessboard going at the same time by so many hands that it's unbelievable. Now, as far as Trump is concerned, some people think that he would not be reelected. Some people think that he would. But you know something? This may seem like a bit of a stretch, but they have to let him be reelected. And I can give you one reason why. Reason being is that they have to blame the current situation we're going through with people coming in illegally and without naturalization or whatever have you legal process has dictated that people have gone through Liberty Island through. They're not doing that at the border. With all the things that have been given between cell phones to credit cards to money and clothes and so forth, and sent on their way with a supposed court date, which is like a joke from you know where, and a complete catastrophe, they have to have someone set up in place so they can take the fall for that fiasco, though it did not happen during a future Trump administration. It actually occurred during the current administration, which what? Joy Boy has no idea which end of his tail is coming out backwards or forwards or whatever, and yet his staff members have to tell him what to do or not do or say during an interview, regardless of what media source it might be. So,
my point is, and I've said this over and over again, for Trump to talk about illegal immigrants and about building a wall was just so much BS, because if he, as president, once he was elected in 2017, if he wanted to stop illegal immigration, all he had to do was pull the military out of about 110 different countries and put them on our own border.
You would think.
That's all it would take. Game over. Oh, put the military on the border. It's over.
Tell me about it. But the thing is that I think even at that time he was being manipulated. Even though
he's always been manipulated. They're all puppets. none of them are on
that.
Their own.
Yeah. I'll give you
Francis,
that.
thank you so much,
you'll
lady. I love it. Love it when you call in. And now let's jump to wow, it's Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, how are you, lady?
Oh, hi. Good to hear all of you. Yeah, I wanted to remind people to check out Kaifeng, that's K-A-I-F-E-N-G, Chinese, they're Jewish. And you have to realize, you know, people say about the Khazars and they're not the same as the Israelites. But the Israelites have been all through the world, you know, and longest time, and mixing with everyone. So they're everywhere, you know, and you can find a list of the popes that are Jews. And the Rothschild took over all the banking for the Vatican and Catholic universally in 1823, you know. And like you were saying, I want to echo what Mike said about checking out authors. I know I had somebody recently wanting me several times to look into this Urania stuff, and it's exactly what the Jews keep saying, all the lies about Germany. And so I'd asked him if he had seen The Greatest Story Never Told, and he said he had watched it a couple of times. Well, I don't understand how you can watch that a couple of times and then look into the other things that tell the truth and then still expect some of this opposite stuff to be true, you know? But some of these authors, you really got to wonder, they're supposedly on watch lists for more than 10 years and nothing happens?
Well, Murr, I got to... Exactly, but before we jump and let Frederick and Matthew kind of jump into that discussion, I want to thank you for all of the links you send out. You sent a link about the Chicago deal that I hope people can get a look at that Frederick brought up for us. And also, you know, you brought out, you know, the letters from Solomon James de Rothschild. And so that is very much appreciated. Frederick, any comments for Murr here?
Oh, Sharon with Matthew, too.
Huh?
I don't have Matt's address, so if you want to share them with Matt, that would be good. Go ahead, Frederick. Sorry.
I will. I'll make sure I do that, Murr. Thank you.
Yes, Murr is one of our contributors to the North Kakalaki Trading Post Chatango site. She's always posting great nuggets over there, so you're much appreciated, Murr. As always, great stuff.
I just like to try to be a help.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you. Certainly appreciate it. And Matt, any comments from Miss Murr here? You don't know her, but you should. She is a true sweetheart.
Well, actually, I don't know Murr. I don't know you, but I have listened to you many times on Roger Sales' show. I think she's called in a lot.
Yeah, I correct Roger's, speaking sometimes, and he gets very mad at me. But I'm I'm letting him get away with Promulgate instead of Promulgate, so I haven't corrected him on that one.
Yeah, I'm familiar with you through that, but obviously I don't know you personally. But nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
We always enjoy the melodious, pulchritudinous tones of Murr's voice.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'll get off of here so some other people can get on. Thanks so much.
All right, Murr.
Good show.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Appreciate you, girl. How about Charles in St. Petersburg, Florida? Charles, how are you?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Abraham and Henry Jonas? Abraham Jonas was the guy that discovered Lincoln. He was the Grand Master of Freemasonry in Illinois. He had been Grand Master in Kentucky before him, before that. And his cousin, Henry Jonas, J-O-N-A-S, they were both came over in the time period of the 1848 when they had radical revolution, Marxist revolutions in Europe.
Are you aware that there is a very great possibility that Abraham Lincoln is Jewish?
Yeah, it's quite possible.
Well, you know,
I've investigated his genealogy, but...
Well, he actually, his mother was working for a Jewish trader in North Carolina, and she became pregnant with Abraham, and of course the wife of the affair did not like it that well, so she was kicked out. And there is some pretty good documented evidence on that, that he was actually born in North Kakalaki. And that also there is a picture of one of their other children, a male child. And if you look at him in his adulthood and compare him with Abraham Lincoln, the likeness is striking.
Yeah, but Henry Jonas anyway, he and his cousin Abraham Jonas was the one that created B'nai B'rith, which is a Jewish Masonic organization. Either was formed in Cincinnati or New York, they don't know, 1843. But
well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Lincoln was concerned. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you go ahead, sir. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Lincoln was concerned. I had a revisionist book called The 1860 Election on different political parties and all that formed the modern Republican Party. You know, the different Free Soil and different political parties in the 1860 election. But Lincoln was, according to this book, I can't remember the author's name, he read it years ago, Lincoln was concerned that the Democrats had proof that he was a member secretly of the Know-Nothings, and he was writing to his boss, Abraham Jonas, you know, who had actually discovered him, and... you know, worried about the Democrats revealing it, you know, that Know-Nothings were a secret anti-Catholic organization, you know, and that would have been political dynamite even back then. They were with all the Irish and German Catholics, you know, voting, you know. Yeah, it's just I think they've had guardians. You know, the one periodical a friend of mine had was called the Shasta Chronicles from Shasta, California, is an obscure publication, but it claimed to have had proof from Jewish sources that up through the Lyndon Johnson, that was the time period I saw it, that they all had these Jewish advisors, quote unquote, since the time of Lincoln. So that's what I wanted to report, you know.
All right. Well, appreciate that, Charles. Any comments there, Matt? Matt, you still with us, buddy?
Yep. Sorry, I had you muted.
Okay.
But, that's pretty interesting. I had never come across that info before about Lincoln being Jewish. And, yeah, I definitely believe from, you know, either Lincoln on up or even before that they've all had Jewish advisors. So, you know, being told what to do.
Lincoln was supposedly one of the three main kind of mystic leaders of a Rosicrucian group, too. Supposedly he was he denied he would been in Masonry, but we don't know. He may have been secretly for all we know. But he was definitely supposedly in they had a Rosicrucian group. It's not connected, I imagine, with AMORC, AMORC. It's called Ancient and Mystic Order of Rosicrucians, which was formed here in Tampa originally and moved out to California.
Well, just so I can toss it in here, guys, the family that is allegedly was the father of Abraham Lincoln, their last name, they were Jewish, their last name were Enlow, E-N-L-O-W. So I'm not sure what that
he
one
wasn't
comes
the
from.
Real Lincoln then? He wasn't related to the Virginia family?
Nope.
He supposedly is. The genealogy, my genealogy company claims he was, at least on his mother's side, it'd be.
Maybe on his mother's side.
Old family. Old Virginia family.
Maybe Nancy Hanks was. Of whatever lineage, I'm not sure, but she was a servant for the Enlow family in Rutherford County, North Carolina, and she had an illegitimate son named Abraham, but she was forced to leave and eventually married Tom Lincoln in Kentucky, and there is some pretty good backup info on that. Any comments, Blackbird 9?
Well, it's just interesting that is a recurring symbolism in Jewish history, especially Freemasonic history, where there's actually a riddle there dealing with bastard children. In the third degree of the Blue Lodge, you know, basically the three ruffians, Jubalah, Jubalo, Jubalam, assassinate the best of the Goyim, Hiram Abiff, who was on loan from the King of Tyre, right? They assassinate him, but when King Solomon comes out and shows the 12 tribes are all in attendance. So it couldn't have been anybody from the temple because all the children of Israel are accounted for, all 12. But what they don't say is there's that hidden hand of Jewish children that are brought up and groomed that are bastard children but are still considered better than the Goyim. And they're kind of like this own little entity, and you have all these rabbis and, you know, political Jews that always pick from this, you know, crop of, you know, sort of Jews and groom them, put them in positions of power. Same thing with, you know, Alexander Hamilton. You know, he was that, you know, a smart, you know, bastard kid that had no political connections, but was brought under the Rothschild wing and put in as, you know, Rothschild's man in the Continental Congress, right? So, you know, this idea of, you know, grooming children, you know, even in the Festival of Esther on Purim, you know, Mordecai's grooming Esther. You know, it's just this child that, you know, he's her uncle, you know, she has no parents, right? So, yeah, this is just part of that thing that, yes, they get these children and they groom them for positions, and when they're no longer needed, you know, they kill them.
Is this, what you're talking about, Murano's secret Jews? what they call them in Spanish, Morano, meaning pig.
Yes.
Supposedly.
Yeah, yes. Cryptos.
Yeah, know. Cryptos. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that the Moranos.
The Morano.
That well, yes, that is true. Well, guys.
Crypto-more would be a Moresco in Spanish.
Right. Well, Charles, thank you so much for the call in. We're about to run out of time here. Thank you for the calls. I appreciate it. I just wanted to give my two guests a minute or so to summarize what we've been able to accomplish in the past 2 hours. And I really think we've got to move forward with this, guys. And we'll talk about that after today's program or sometime in the near future. But, Matt, would you summarize, please, sir?
Yeah, no, it was enjoyable discussing the, you know, truth about World War II, what's actually happening, what and, you know, where we are today because of it. And, yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here with you guys and look forward to it.
Well, thank you, Matt. Would you summarize for us, please, Frederick?
Oh, just first, yeah, thank you, gentlemen, for having me back on. It has been a blast. I hate we ran out of time. Those 2 hours just flew by. But as a son of a World War II veteran, you know, I can't stress that enough, you know, that you know, my father fought on the side of the United States thinking he was fighting the good war because of Pearl Harbor. And now we know that everything about World War II, just like World War I, was all Jewish lives to, progress a Jewish global agenda, and to the detriment of Western civilization, especially white civilization. And the fact that, you know, we just found out that, you know, Sven Longshanks, Alan, I'm trying to find the article here, has been sentenced to prison for basically telling the truth in England, just like Graham Hart was put to prison for, you know, telling the truth in the UK. You know, so many people in Europe and the UK are being thrown in prison for telling the truth, like Ursula Haverbeck. And tell me, you know, did the good guys win World War II? You know, answer me that, you know.
No way. The good guys did not win, and we were as much, you know, if when you look at the Lend-Lease program, look at so many other things, and, you know, and I had talked with Matt earlier. I was hoping that we could get into, you know, the assassination of Forrestal and George Patton, but obviously we're not going to have the time for that. So if you two gentlemen would be so kind, maybe in 2 weeks, let's maybe jump on this subject again. I would be most happy to have both of you back.
Sure.
I'll see if I can get it clear with management. I know that is.
yeah, we forgot about those payments you have to make with interest.
Friday night's date night.
Yeah, forgot about that stuff. Yeah. But anyway, we will do what we can. And anyway, guys, I you know, tomorrow, you know, I'll have my program be on from 4 to 6 tomorrow afternoon here on Republic Broadcasting. I hope that you folks who are tuned in now will have the opportunity to join me tomorrow. And then, of course, listen to my good friend Stephen Douglas Whitener and Richard. You know, let's listen to the folks here. And these folks, you know, give you an awful lot of information, folks. And TF, thank you for your extra $10 donation on top of your already monthly donation. You guys are fantastic. And we appreciate you so much. Everyone, have a wonderful weekend. And God bless.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, You have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.